ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and we all have a little bit of the holiday cheer, at least from a Way Back Wednesday perspective, because we decided that we were going to do Christmas songs since we're all off next week. So enjoy the pre-holiday festivities of Christmas music surrounding The Usual Suspects.
You don't seem thrilled.
I got a list in. I noticed that you got yours in before I got home last night.
Yeah, of course, because I was here. I had to stay. I went to the gym, so I was like, well, I might as well do it. I enjoyed it. I think this is going to be fun. This is a good it's a good topic.
You enjoyed it because you got your list in first. You got the cream of the crop in terms of the picks.
No. I actually told you had some good songs in there.
Well.
It's the holidays. It's time to be festive. What's wrong with that?
It is what it is. It's quite possible that I'm going to get there, but I have not gotten to the holiday spirit yet.
Okay.
Well, it's always more stressful for parents.
Yeah.
We're not parents. We're not you, sir.
Well, I mean,
especially
look.
Especially with no cats now, super easy.
So the latest dilemma is, from a Christmas spirit perspective, I did get the tree and we got it up. We got it decorated. We're all pleased with it. Taylor loves it. She's really excited about it. And for the last two nights, Sophie, one of our dogs, has decided to wait till about 3:30 in the morning to start plucking ornaments off the tree and destroying them all over the living
room. Good dog.
Yeah. So
that's not
something that's made me very happy, and I don't enjoy cleaning it up. But I don't also want a void at the bottom of the tree to say she's won.
I was going
to
say, now, do you discipline the dog?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, and then I have the remnants in my hand. Uh-oh. And I look at her and go, Sophie, come here. And she'll like trot over like, hey, what's up? Oh! And just turn and bail.
Do you smash it in her face to teach her a lesson?
No, but I fill her dog bowl up with it and I leave it there in front of her so that she thinks that's what she's got to eat until I decide to actually give her food.
You put broken ornaments into her dog bowl?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're shredded. We have these little like stuffed animal
so
ornaments
glass?
And things. Like one of them, because we do like ornaments with themes for each of us. So one of mine was, there's a baseball mitt. Well, she tore the hell out of that. So I just put the whole shredded baseball mitt in there. She tore some ribbons and bows we had on the tree. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, no.
So yeah, 'tis the season to be cleaning up dog-chewed ornaments. That's not fun.
We don't have any of that. Our cat used to do that a little bit, but their big thing was they would just want to sleep under the tree. They were older. Yeah, as they got older, they left the ornaments alone. Young kitties will try to slap some balls around, but
cats want to sleep under it. Dogs want to pee on it.
Yeah. Did your dogs pee on the tree?
No.
All
the ones that I've trained they know better. Lisa's dog that I inherited, I would give it a 50-50 shot before it's all said and done. But for the most part, I think we're okay.
That's good.
Nick, you got any concerns about your dog taking your Charlie Brown Christmas tree to
the
shed?
No, I don't really have that issue. I just have my only issue with my dog is her greetings. People, that's it. As I've told you guys before, but in terms of chewings, I think she's past that now. When I first got her, obviously, the sightings on the wall, that's kind of a common thing for puppies to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't really have that problem, man. Do not have that problem.
Well, that's a good thing.
She's a good dog.
Well, I mean, look, I love my dogs. My dogs are great dogs too. But there's things that you don't expect from year to year, and then all of a sudden when they rear their head like that, especially when I'm like trying to feed the baby at 3:30 in the morning, I'm like, I don't need to be kicking around, tripping over chewed up ornaments and crap.
You're making me not want to get a dog.
She does like really toilet paper, though.
Oh, yeah, really?
That's the issue I have, now that I think about it.
So she TPs your living room? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, but other than that, I'm fine. Taylor's really jacked up about the holidays, so that's cool. She had her holiday singing performance last week where we all showed up at night, and she did
I don't know what you just showed me there. She did her singing of Christmas carols and things like that. So that was cool.
What did Tyler win? Do you know?
Obviously, two Texans tickets.
Yeah, those Texans are, they're not. Yeah, it's two
Texans
tickets.
They're larger than life.
He showed up at our red box, and there's a tweet from the Houston Texans that says, "Congratulations, Tyler. Enjoy the game."
Till he finds out that because he's not with the flagship station, that
they're
going to
be like, "Wait a minute. You're with ESPN? No, you can't have them."
What he should do is put them up for a raffle or a giveaway on ESPN's website. Say, look what I just won. You guys now can win these as being a loyal listener to ESPN 97.5. Then you'd start getting the letters.
I wonder if they got mad, if they would get mad if you did that.
Oh,
if you sold
would
them?
They?
Well, if you sold them. If you just straight up said, hey,
yes,
my buddy wants to pay $200 per ticket.
Yes, that would create some anger. They'd get even more angry if you put them up for a contest on your website or did something at the station here.
Huh.
Yeah.
Also, is today Fred Fowler's birthday?
No idea.
I saw that. Happy birthday.
I saw a tweet from Trey that says, happy birthday, Falcon.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw a tweet from Fred.
Well, now I feel like a dick because I texted him earlier telling him I'd drop my bag off in his office because I had stuff to go do. I had to go run errands. Had the sales meeting this morning, so popped into the sales meeting. Then I had to go get the haircut and get lunch, so I just left my bag in there. Never said happy birthday to him.
Don't just feel like one. You are. Yeah. You are a dick.
All right. So well, that's
no. I just saw it on Twitter.
I didn't know
like
Father
an hour
Time
ago.
Had a birthday.
See, how old is he? Do we know?
Well, mid 50s probably. I think that's what the I think that's what he says when he and AJ talk.
Well,
about
his tweet
it.
At 19 minutes ago. Thanks for all the birthday wishes, or as I like to call it, another mile marker on the road to inevitable. To the inevitable conclusion.
That's nice.
What mile is he at?
He always has the black cloud to finish.
Yeah. I wonder what mile he's at. What do you think? 55?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. That's exactly where I think.
Okay.
You?
I don't know.
Nick, how old do you think Fred is?
I would have guessed the same thing. I probably would have said 53, 54, something like that.
I wonder if it's on his wiki page. You know he has a wiki page, right?
I did not know that.
Yes. Fred has a wiki page. He's that important.
He is
55.
Boom. There you
according go. To the wiki page. Born in Galveston, Texas, December 18, 1964. A day that will live in infamy.
Happy birthday, Fred Fowler. Yeah. I'll have to drop him a note.
Well, we just did on the show.
That too. Yeah, and speaking of that, we've got a lot to get through today on the show. And, of course, when you get the urge, you can join us. HRNP listener line, always available for you, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number. You can also reach us on Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. Way back Wednesday themes, of course, all Christmas songs, I guess pre-2009.
Yeah,
I had one that was 2011, but Barry let me know, so I changed.
Yeah, I didn't
that.
Want to have to embarrass him on the air, so I got.
I don't know if it would be more embarrassing the fact that it wasn't pre 2009 or the fact that it was Justin Bieber. I mean, that's kind of like a crapshoot there. I mean,
that's,
which one's worse?
That's a good call on that, Joel.
You know,
I figured you guys were going to give me heat for it regardless.
Oh
so.
No, there's plenty on your list to
what?
Discuss.
There's nothing else besides Justin Bieber that would put me in the line of fire.
I'm gonna defer to Barry on this.
I'm gonna pull up your list real fast here, young man. Because as I recall, Elvis Presley.
Bite your tongue before you say anything.
Really?
Bite your tongue.
Why?
Because he's Elvis. He's
Lady Gaga.
Put some respect on it.
Or as my father-in-law used to say, Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, classic. That's a great one, Nick.
All
I'm
these
being
irresponsible
serious.
Parents that have their kids listening to this show,
what is
they're going to love it.
What is it? Christmas time is here. Or
no,
whatever?
Put up on the housetop.
Oh no, wrong song though. The one where they sing Christmas time.
No,
Christmas
please don't sing. Good
here.
Lord,
we with want the high
people,
voices.
We want people to continue to listen, not turn the radio off. Don't sing.
Me singing or you hacking up a lung? Which one?
I'm hitting the cough button.
It makes
what do you
no
want me to
difference.
Do?
It echoes off the wall behind me.
What do you want me to do, Joel? I'm sick. What would you rather me do?
Jam your mouth into your shirt.
I've been doing that.
Well, it's not working. Just letting you know. So we're off to a good start. And hopefully
Eartha
just
Kitt,
go-
though, good song. I'm surprised he didn't do Baby It's Cold Outside, that rapey song. Why didn't he do that? Why are you staring at me like that?
Because
I cut you off?
Don't worry about it. You did encourage him to use the
I tried to.
Rapey song.
Yeah.
But and he
didn't want to do it.
He had...
I ignored it immediately. Right when he suggested a song, I ignore both of y'all's songs. At this point.
I think it's unfortunate that Nick has been scorned and abused for so long that he now realizes that anything we suggest has about a 95% chance of being something that we will use in fodder on the show.
I kind
of
like it.
That's fine. Yeah. I'll make fun of me. I just want to be the one responsible for my own list, and be, you know,
because then he never knows. Like, now we keep him on his toes. He never knows if we're messing with him or not.
Well, he also knows to never accept another suggestion that we make. And sometimes we do make good ones for him.
Well, that's why when you're like Alvin and the Chipmunks, it's like Joel's messing with him.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Wow.
That's Christmas weird. Time by Alvin and the Chipmunks, I believe, is a good song. That would have been a good selection.
I when I got here today, I had to hang out for a little bit before the sales meeting. And I was talking to Courtney about the Christmas party. Uh-huh. And she's got a new game that I think is going to be awesome. Because, you know, they're going to have the eggnog. They're going to chug eggnog and... what else are they doing? They've got a whole list of stuff they're going to be doing, right?
Yeah, between the Klein's Fine Jewelers
at Klein's
morning, and then the Nick's Place in the afternoon.
One of the things that they do, at Klein's they have eggnog chug, beer obstacle course, athlete spelling bee. That's the one. Okay. They have a frozen shirt, too, which I don't know about that. But the athlete spelling bee is going to be really cool.
Oh, they do frozen shirt every year.
Yeah. But athlete spelling bee is the new one, and they're going to – you have to spell players' names.
That's cool.
That's going to be very difficult.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting to see because I'll tell you right now, none of the suspects are winning that. None of the suspects are good spellers.
Neither is Courtney.
I've read the texts. They're not good spellers. Yeah. Well, she's better, right?
Did you read – the gifts from Klein's Fine Jewelers, probably better spelled that way, but instead of a pearl necklace, there's a peel necklace.
That's a typo, not a spelling error.
Oh, that's a spelling error, Barry.
A peel necklace? Yeah. No. Yeah. She just left off the R. She was typing fast.
That's a spelling
okay. That's,
error is what that is.
See, this is why she
don't like
you. I know
you protect your girl. That's okay.
But that's going to be cool. And then when we get to Nick's, we get to see the push-up contest and the craziest tattoo contest. Are you going to enter and show them your tramp stamp?
Nick?
You're not going to... Joel?
I don't have one, as you know.
You don't have that lower back tattoo?
No. I know you're trying to always try to peep views when I'm in the restroom, but no, I don't.
That's why I get up over the stall and peek.
Well, if you work in the building, you don't have to. You just have to say you're going to the electrician's room, and you can see it all.
I'm working on it.
All right. So that's a subtle reminder, or not so subtle reminder, that Friday of this week, our last day of... before the holidays, when we're off next week, the big Christmas party. And like I said, it's going to be at Klein's Fine Jewelers in the morning with the bench and Palillo and Raheel. And then in the afternoon, the party continues as we go to Nick's Place on Rocky Ridge. And we take you all the way through 7 o'clock with us and the Blitz. So there's going to be lots of fun and games, lots of prizes to be won, and lots of appreciation for you guys, the listeners, that have done it for us all year long and continue to do it for us. And we do completely appreciate you. So stay tuned, and we'll give you some more details throughout the show today in terms of what you can win and what's going on. But before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. It's sports, it's scenic views. We all know they go hand in hand. You can spend time at one of the 5 Houston area locations sampling some of the new Smoker Selects menu featuring smoked meats cooked low and slow over hickory wood, like sweet and smoky ribs. You can pair that up with a craft beer served at a frosty 29 degrees in a man-sized mug served by a beautiful Twin Peaks girl for a legendary meal. And of course, the sports packages are all paid for. So that means you can watch soccer on one TV, NBA basketball on another, college basketball on another, and then either a bowl game or football or whatever you want to watch on another TV, all at the comfort of your table, all being waited on by the Twin Peaks girls with all that food and beverage. It's just the best place if you're going to leave the house to go watch sports, hang out, and never miss a play. Check it out. Like I always tell you, at one of the 5 locations in the Houston area, it's got to be one close to you. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second segment of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. On a Way Back Wednesday, Christmas songs. Nick, Barry, Joel, as we take you through this week and then next week based on bowl games and vacation time. And one, I don't know what you want to call it. Next week will be without the usual suspects as we will be taking a well-deserved week off.
Yes. Indeed. I'm looking forward to vacation.
It's going to be a good week to just kind of detox, relax, chill, family time,
be on
holidays.
The road half the week. I'll be in Fort Worth Thursday detox. Through Saturday.
What about detox?
Well, Nick won't be detox. Nick will be toxing. Detox.
Yeah, somebody did text and say, does Joel drink anything besides beer?
Yeah. I mean, when I drink Crown. I've drank or rum.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see the festivities and fiascos that do take place on Friday at Nick's place during our portion of the Christmas party, because it's always a fun time, always tons of suspects, and there's always just a little bit of drinking.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember Crystal Collins pissing off Granado by trying to run her fingers through his hair. I remember her buying you way too many drinks. Dre on 290. We get the whole crew there normally. It's like, yep. You know, when we do remotes, we get a couple of suspects at each different remote. But when we do the holiday party and or the listener party,
it's a big
you're getting a ton of them.
It's a big shindig.
Yep, it's always a good time. So always something to look forward to, and that's always and of course the food at Nick's place is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that you're talking about made from scratch Italian food,
pizza, pretty much everything.
Calzones are off the chain.
Calzone
is the best.
Yeah. So that should be a good time as well. You know, again, if you can make it in your schedule, if you're holiday shopping in the Galleria and you can break away, we'd love to see you. The Blitz would love to see you as we'll go 1 to 7 p.m. at Nick's place.
Well, love to see some of you.
Wow.
I believe it's 11 a.m. It starts with Charlie Pullo.
Oh, so Charlie's going to start at Nick's. Okay, so then everybody in the morning at Klein's goes till 11 and then 11 to 7.
Correct.
We'll be at Nick's. There you go. All right, so we'll do it that way. Courtney has already said that she is registered for the next spelling bee to try and improve. That's not what she said to me in the hallway. No, she kind of said she hated me because the minute we went to break, she said she heard that. So yeah. I was like, well, you got to do better.
That's what you do. You're out here making friends.
Yeah, on a daily basis. So let's see. Things that people have lost their mind on social media between last show and right now. This Garrett Cole sign thing. Oh, my goodness. So, to answer the questions, one, he shaved and got a haircut. He had his press conference today with the Yankees. But from a New York perspective, he evidently got together with family after the decision was made to join the Yankees, and his dad or someone went into a closet somewhere in one of the family residences and found the exact, at least supposedly, the exact sign that he had held up 20 years ago when it said, basically, one, you know, Yankee for life or whatever the hell it may be. And now every New York media outlet is asking if it's the real sign. And what a great story. And the homecoming of this and that. And the other. All right. You got the best pitcher in baseball. Congratulations. I mean, but, you know, that's a bit excessive.
Oh, come on now. Why? So, I mean, I'm not saying you. But, I mean, although
first of all, there's a lot of Yankee fans that are red-assed. I mean, Astros fans red-assed about all of
this. Yeah, and, I mean, the point is, who cares? He's excited to go play for the team he grew up rooting for. Why is everyone getting so bent out of shape? He's not an Astro anymore. Let it go. Stop being so petty. Stop being so childish. He gets to go play for a team that he has rooted for his whole life. He's getting paid very well for it. What do you care? He's not an Astro anymore.
What do
Move
you
on.
Care? The
yeah,
fans
what do you care?
Care because he's not pitching for your team anymore, and the team that you're speaking of with all this joy and exuberation happens to be the team that's their arch rival in the American League to get to the World Series, to continue to do this run that they've been on for 3 years, and so it has a tendency to rub people in Houston the wrong way.
I don't understand why, though. I mean, it seems
he was arguably
silly to be upset
1A
about
or this. 1B, he was one of the two best pitchers, not only on your team, but in all of baseball, and he's not going to be with you next year. That's just another reason why people aren't happy. They weren't going to be happy no matter where he went, and it was inevitable he was leaving, but until they had to face the day, they kind of tabled it, and now it's coming out.
I don't know. I just feel like, as a grown-ass man, it doesn't bother me that Garrett Cole has the sign from when he was a kid in a Yankees uniform with a shaved face, and he's making you know.
It bothers me from the standpoint of, I think it's a neat little deal that the Yankees did it at the press conference, okay? But then every single interview you see, it's coming back. And then it's going to be asked about, like, not just one question, but a couple. Ask him about, you know, what he saw, what he was think. Was he thinking about this when he was playing the Yankees in the ALCS last year? Ask him about, you know, is this his lifetime, you know, love of the team and all these other things. But don't just sit there and dwell on the damn sign. That's my opinion. Nick, okay. You got an opinion on all this?
I mean, I think to a certain extent, you know, fan, short for fanatic, so I can kind of see why they're upset to a certain extent. If you're a Yankees fan, I'm not mad at you if you're incredibly excited. I'm not incredible. I understand why Gerrit Cole got paid, and he's a fan of the Yankees, so I'm not as upset, but I can see why some fans are bothered by it. I don't know if they necessarily are justified to be bothered by it, but I can see why, because they're fanatics.
Now, what's interesting is though, excuse me, but what's interesting is, I get what you're saying. It's not the biggest thing to be upset about, but people are upset about the whole thing, right? And then Nick happened to find a quote from the press conference in which that might get the ire of Astros fans if you tried to read between the lines on what he was trying to say in terms of his time with the Astros.
I came 8 outs away from getting a ring. I felt like I could see the light underneath the door. And then it was slammed shut in our face, or it was probably never really opened, actually. I'm as hungry as ever to finish that journey, finish that challenge. And in my opinion, there would be no better place to do it than New York.
So is there something to be mad about there?
I don't think so.
There either.
No.
Okay. Nick, you had some.
The only part was the part where he was talking about, you know, the door was probably shut. I guess you can interpret that in a million different ways, but I do feel like it is kind of an indirect comment for, you know, I can see how people would interpret it as a shot to the Astros, you know, because he said that door was never open, and maybe he's making reference to the fact that he felt like he should have been playing. So I don't know. If he extended on it, like if he expanded on that and he kept harping on the fact that there was never really an opportunity for them to win the World Series, then I would definitely say it, but because it was just one little indirect sly comment, it's kind of hard to tell.
I feel like when he said it was never really something about, he said our or us or our, so he didn't make it about him. And that's what people tried to say at the end of the game was, you know, he was pissed because he didn't get into the game. And he felt, well, the only reason he was going to come in the game is if they had a lead. So they didn't have a lead. So
what are we talking about? But they did have a lead. They could have brought him. They had a lead when they could have brought him in, and then he elected not to bring him in, and then they lost the lead.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. People were mad because of the eighth and the ninth inning. You weren't going to go away from Greinke at that point.
Okay. And look, and I get what you're
saying. So he's saying our. So he was talking about the team. So I don't think this was a personal.
He did say our. That's a good point. Yeah. He did say our. So
he never said me, my face, my slammed in my. It was our. And so he was talking about as a team, they were 8 outs away.
And look, I get what you're saying. To me, it's just be more about the signing and the player than this sign that has a life of its own that keeps going. But
would you have a problem if the Astros did that with somebody?
No, I said, like, but did you hear what I said, though? I said from a Yankees perspective, I think it's neat that they brought up the sign and everything like that. But now every outlet and every piece of video, everybody else is asking about it again and again and again and again. It's just redundant.
Well, it would be the same if you were a Dodgers fan. You're like, really? There's got to be shirts that say I literally love Jose Altuve. I mean, it's that team's thing. I don't understand why the big deal, why a fan would be so upset that they brought a sign from his childhood back. I think that's a cool thing.
I think from a Yankees perspective, it was well done.
Yeah.
I just think it's redundant with all the different, and that's the main questions asked about signing the best pitcher in baseball and joining the Yankees and talking about the actual aspects of baseball and other things.
Hmm. Okay.
All right, fine. God, I mean, it's cold in here. I could use a teddy bear.
It's not teddy bear, Joel. It's a hoodie footy. And yeah, you could use one. Warm you up, get you all hot and ready to go. Hey, guys, Christmas is around the corner. You still have time, though. If you want to get a win-win for you and her this holiday season, go with the best. Go with a hoodie footy from our friends at Pajamagram. Super warm. It's world famous. Totally going to make her happy and warm her up. And, you know, need to warm things up a little bit more, if you know what I'm saying. She's going to love it. I got Nora one. I got her the varsity hoodie footy, and it's on its way. It should be here, in fact, by this end of this week. And I can't wait for her to get it. I think she's gonna absolutely love it. It's soft. It's warm. And it's got the little footy pajamas on there. They've got all kinds. They've got the hoodie. They've got the kind with the pockets on it. There's so many choices for you to get. And look, they're going to wrap it for you, so you don't have to worry about that. They're going to get it to you by Christmas. You don't have to worry about that. And they all have a lifetime guarantee, so you don't have to worry about that either. She's going to love it. It's going to keep her warm. And, like I said, might make things more interesting for you as well. And right now, look, they're celebrating 10 years of the Hoodie Footy with Epijamagram. So if you want, you can save $10 by using promo code SAVE10. All you got to do is just type in SAVE10 when you check out. You're going to save $10 on the adult-sized Hoodie Footy right now. Hurry up, though. Christmas is around the corner. You need to get it soon. You need to get it now. And save that $10. Use code SAVE10. Just go to pajamagram.com. Put in that code SAVE10. And when you check out, tell them Barry sent you.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Second half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for a ride on a Wednesday of the Way Back variety. Barry, hour number one, Christmas songs.
I gotta admit, I never heard that song before, so I was hoping it was gonna be good.
I didn't recognize
I Googled Christmas songs, like pop Christmas songs, and then I just picked a list.
Who was that?
That was James Brown.
Really?
Yeah.
Never would have guessed that.
Yep, James Brown.
Not one time do we hear,
oh, yeah. Maybe we just didn't. Maybe we just didn't get to it yet.
Okay.
Somebody texted and said, "Try not to anger the Astros fan too much. They might steal Cole's sign, huh? Because Cole had a sign stealing signs. Okay, maybe I liked it too much.
Astros fans are bitter because there won't be any Cole in their stocking,
huh? Let's see what you did there too.
See,
truck driver Pookie said, are y'all gonna have suspects T-shirts at the Christmas party?
Yep.
I have no idea."
Pretty sure.
We have any left?
Oh, yeah, we do. Yep. Yeah, we get plenty.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a closet full of them. But, yeah. So, again, P. Randizzle and people that like to complain that they haven't gotten them in their size and don't get the love that they deserve, get to the holiday Christmas party Friday at Nick's place. Get your damn T-shirt. There. If Courtney's still listening after the spelling comment, she will stock up and come down the hallway and let us know there will be plenty for you people.
Today is National Signing Day, isn't it?
It is. I put it on our list.
Are you into the day? I know a lot of people really get into this.
I am peeping it. I am keeping an eye on it. I know the Badgers have done some pretty good things. I know that I went through all 15 signees of Dana Hogerson and U of H so far. And I'm just, from time to time, I'm trying to see what's going on. So I think it's a fun day. There's two different signing days, and this is the early declaration day for the kids that want to get their first semester going in the spring not have to wait through the end of the school year.
Yeah, it's never been a thing I really got into. I like to go back and look at the end of the day, but there are some people that will watch this like the draft.
Oh, no doubt.
And I'm like, oh, God, you guys really need to get something else going in your life if you sit around and watch this all day.
Yeah, and then you got to be careful, too, that – SEC Network, I think it is, or the Longhorn Network was, how they have the war room cameras. Well, they had the cameras in there while the U of H coaching staff led by Tom Herman is working on all the different, recruits. He just double rods, flips off the cameras, and I think they kind of remind him, coach, that's live, and it's too late. Then the screenshots are all out there, and here's Tom Herman flipping the double bird. So, there you go, Longhorn Network. There's your football coach.
Go, Tom.
Yeah.
Look at you, buddy.
Here's a crazy one from the signing day today.
Okay.
Number 21 recruit in the country, a wide receiver by the name of Rakim Jarrett, had committed to LSU, decided to flip it and go to Maryland.
Really?
That's a little different, right? Yeah, especially with the fact that LSU
I guess they paid
now,
more.
Man, I guess so.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean,
did see Emmitt Smith's son is going to Stanford.
He is.
That's on the front page of ESPN.
Yep.
Is there any other big surprises? Because that is weird to flip from LSU to Maryland.
I'll tell you who we had our reservations about a few years ago, who's doing all right, Herm Edwards.
Is he?
Arizona State starting to reel some players in. They just got top 300 wide receiver that was committed to Oregon to flip to Arizona State. And they've been reeling in some pretty good candidates to add to Arizona State roster for next season. So I give him a little bit of credit. But, you know, I tweeted an article this morning and people got all red-assed about it because they were so
offended. That's so unlike people.
But, you know, I basically Yahoo Sports did the article, and it basically says, look, on National Signing Day, you know, you need to be prepared for the fact that there are five teams essentially that are reeling in all of the top five-star recruits. Because we know that the way they do the rating system, it's a 1 through 5-star system, and there's, depending on which college recruiting source you go to, Rivals here locally and otherwise is big. But of the, I think there's 32 five-star prospects in the country this year, all being reeled in by five schools: Clemson, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, Alabama. So okay. 22 sounds of the 33 right. five stars are going to one of those five schools.
Interesting, because I'm on the top 300 right now for ESPN, and there's 17 five stars in the top.
So according to Rivals.com,
yeah,
33
so they have
players
33 at 33 five-stars.
Yeah, 33 okay. in their class of 2020 are rated out as five-star recruits. 22 have either committed or predicted to commit to one of those five schools. So that's two-thirds of the five-stars are going to five schools.
That's crazy.
Isn't it?
I was looking at, well, on this database for ESPN, Desmond Evans, who is number two in the country, according to them. Mm-hmm. He is a defensive end. He's got a 92 grade. North Carolina, because he's from Sanford, North Carolina. So he's staying in state, going to play for Mac Brown. But you're right. Outside of that, a lot of Ohio State, Clemson, Bama, LSU, Georgia.
That's
the thing, typical.
That's the thing that always kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit is the fact that the talent that they're pulling from, a lot of it comes from Texas and a lot of them come from Houston. And yet Nick Saban's able to come in and get the top offensive lineman in the country a year ago, right here in Houston, just like that. Boom, gone. I know the tailback from North Shore is the number one overall recruit.
Zachary Evans.
Yeah, in the country, Zach yep. Evans. And I know he was undecided. Has he made a decision?
He's five-star recruit, 91 grade, 7th in the nation, according to ESPN. And they just have him listed with, it just says list. So it makes you go look at all the different colleges he's considering. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's an order here, but his list is a mile long. I mean, I'm not kidding you. There's probably 25 to 30 schools.
Alabama on there.
A&M, LSU, Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas. And so maybe those first two, or maybe that is the order, because it's not alphabetical until you get past LSU and Alabama. But then it's Arizona, Arkansas, Auburn, Baylor, Colorado, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Houston, Illinois, Iowa State. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
How nice would that be, though, to just kick back and go, I don't have my choice of like two or three schools. Dude, I got a laundry list.
He got an offer from every one of those schools that I just read, and more. I mean, I'm scrolling down the list. Ohio State, Oklahoma, OSU, Ole Miss, Oregon. Like, he's got his pick of wherever he wants to go in the country. Wisconsin.
Well, there's one that I would choose right away if I'm a running back, but I'm just saying.
But he's only visited, according to this, two of those schools, Texas A&M and LSU.
So
that might tell you.
Up to the hour rankings, the recruiting classes. Right now, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, LSU, Auburn, top five. Georgia, 6.
Okay.
Crazy thing is, the number of commits, Georgia, 16, then Auburn and LSU with 22, Ohio State and Alabama with 25, Clemson with 24. A&M at 8.
Okay.
Gig
them.
I don't. At Texas
Where's
at
whiskey?
10. Wisconsin is at 26.
Okay.
So
Is that usually about where Wisconsin ends up every year?
It pretty much is. The one, like you said, that's surprising is North Carolina's at 17.
Mac Brown doing some things now.
He is.
Same thing he did at Texas. We'll see how long it lasts.
Is Georgia, Florida, Texas A&M, Michigan, and Texas is the top 10.
Okay.
So there you have that. So if we get any big-time signings, we'll probably pass them along to you if they're announced throughout the day. But just wanted to let you know that it's signing day, amongst other things, as we continue to talk some sports and other stuff here on The Usual Suspects. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call or text. Hit us on Twitter. Second half hour coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra. And we begged her not to go.
But she forgot her. This song always annoyed me.
What? What? Oh, you're going to hell now.
Because they overplay it.
Boy, are you upsetting.
It was funny when it first came out, and then they just overplayed it. Nick, thoughts?
Don't care about this song at all.
You guys are going to hell. You might as well just...
We'll see you there.
This is just, this is Christmas song royalty.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Walking home from our house
Christmas Eve.
So good.
This is painful to my ears.
Really? No such thing as Santa. Okay. Guess we'll wait and listen to your list.
Sure. I went traditional.
It's you fine. Did go traditional with a couple.
Nick, you taking hour number three? Or am I?
I am.
Okay.
Barry, hour number one. You're hour number two. I am hour number three.
There you go.
So you can have one of my songs because you had to get rid of one, right?
I don't want any of your songs.
He had an extra.
Who did? He did?
I had eight. Only need seven.
Why did you only need seven?
Oh. I thought you had nine and you only needed eight.
I think I had eight. But if you need another one.
You can have the first one that I didn't get to play. Wham.
No, he played it.
You played Wham?
He played it.
I missed it.
Oh, I didn't. And I was upset that I had to listen to it.
Son of a gun. I really wanted to hear Wham.
Yep, played that. That's your second song. So that played about 30 minutes ago, sir.
I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone sent to me, by the way, that Jim Adler and Associates is looking for a marketing and public relations specialist.
You're the man, Joel! You can hammer the public.
How funny would that be?
That would be great if you were his spokesperson.
For an interview, you walk in with a sledgehammer. And some glasses.
He just
on
went in and
safety
did
glasses
it.
And go, sorry, I'm late, but there was an 18-wheeler and I hammered him to get up here on time.
Big, big hammer.
Felice Navi Dad.
That would be the absolute best.
Can you imagine that?
Yes, I can. I really think if you listen.
Go to a job fair. What do you do, sir? I work for an oil and gas company. And you, sir? Hammer them daily for $18.33.
I don't know why you didn't dress up as Jim Adler for Halloween, but that has to happen next year.
We need to do that.
You just absolutely have to dress up as the Texas Hammer, bring in a sledgehammer with you. That has to happen. That's just, there's no.
Have you seen his kid do the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, talk about like.
But doesn't he have a different, is he the ball peen or what?
He's got a different name, but he's still carrying the hammer.
Yeah. It's just a smaller hammer?
No, because he emphasizes not just the hammer. On every commercial, well, I speak softly and carry a big, big hammer.
So he does two bigs? Because that's Jim Adler's thing is he's got the big, big hammer. So I feel like the kid has to just have one big. Like he's got the big,
big hammer.
See, yeah, so your son would be the big hammer. And then, you know, Jim Adler the third would be the hammer. I just don't feel like you can say big, big hammer.
Am I wrong, Nick, or did he inherit the ability to wink just like his dad?
See? No, I don't see that.
I think because he looks a lot like
his
dad.
Well, you're doubling down and going to hell.
I'm asking a question. Because I know it's random. He's not in the commercials as frequently as Jim.
No, I've always, honestly, I'm not, I just too used to Adler, the father, that I don't even look forward to seeing his son in the commercials. It's just.
It's like it's a knockoff. It's like the Dr. Thunder. of Jim Adler's.
Like, I'm pretty
no
sure.
No one wants the Equate version of Jim Adler. No, thank you.
Like, does Mattress Mac have a kid? I don't see him.
He does. Yeah, his
no,
two
like
daughters.
A son. No, no.
He has two daughters, and then his son runs all of his social media.
I feel like I feel like the daughters do a pretty good job. It's not Mattress Mac, obviously.
Well, they're more of a low-key, upscale
sure.
yep. I talked to him about that. You know what he said? He said that, obviously, everybody
the millennials
knows him. Yes, but they are millennials, and he thinks for the he wants to get a younger audience in the furniture store. And he wants them to realize that, you know, that they're going to market to them too. So he thought his daughters would be better spokespeople mixed in with his commercials to kind of target millennials.
Okay. One of them could have at least wore a mattress once. You got to earn that right. At least Baby Hammer, you see him with a hammer.
Baby Hammer. Now we've nicknamed him. Baby Hammer. Hammer.
Do, 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 baby Hammer. Do, do, do. At least one of them could have wore a mattress.
Maybe
right?
he's an introvert, or maybe they're not really like as
well. I think
extra.
They're trying
or
to
an
be
American flag golf shirt. Charlie could they could borrow Charlie
something.
Yeah, I mean.
Something. I need some jumping and some save you monies and a back order slip with the paper, right? Because that's what
he and Jim Rome.
I need all that. I need all that from one of them.
I don't think either one of them would have done a good representation.
Well,
of...
make it your own. Not you, but them. They could make it their own. Maybe don't wear it. Okay, so don't wear a mattress. Wear a duvet cover or something. I don't know.
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
Just have them both in a twin mattress because he would obviously wear a king size because he's the king.
Yeah, but he's shrinking. He's a lot smaller than even when he first started doing the commercial.
That happens.
Yeah, I know. He, by the way, shout outs that he and Alex Bregman were out there making Christmas special for some... underprivileged youth yesterday.
Oh, that's very cool.
Very cool there. I saw him, as he always does. He gave away a house full of furniture to some deserving people already last week. So he's out there doing his thing again in the community, as he always does. So the H-Town icon continues.
I like it.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, look, and the thing is, too, have you ever noticed, I don't know, you can never tell what kind of dollar amount is on the dollar, but the dollar he pulls out of his pocket looks like it's been folded like 22 times. It looks like one of those fans. You know, that you make out of paper. He just pulls out the $1 kind of folded in half after it's really folded down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's all. Mattress Mac.
I like it.
I mean, I thought about it. I used to do it when I had to do the reads.
What? Oh.
Yeah, when he got – because he gets in – I mean, it's like he sits there and it, no matter what – if they say, Mac, you got 28 seconds left, take your time, he's still going to go to about 100 words a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way he lives his life. He lives his life going on full tilt.
No doubt. Yeah. And he should.
I agree. And then, you know, the Houston mayor thing, they had the runoff last week. I still hold true to the fact that if Mac would have run, he'd have beat them both and had more votes than both of them combined.
There's no doubt. I have no doubt in my mind that Mattress Mac could be the mayor of Houston.
And I think he'd do good things.
I do, too. I think he's fair. I think he's – yeah, I think he would do a lot of good.
And he's no BS either, because I know that everybody sees him on the commercials and things like that, but I've seen him behind the scenes, and not that he's a hard ass, but he is pretty cut and dried about what's a yes, what's a no, and there's really not a whole lot of gray area. And in a lot of cases with politics, I would too. Absolutely, I would too. And when you look at, and again, we don't live in Houston anymore, but I watched all of the different things in this race for mayor, and it's like both sides, you're just like, that's shady, that's not good. I just, and you know, you start with a mayor that paid an intern $100,000. You know, it's just, and another guy that's just basically got more money than God that just decided that should anoint him as mayor.
The paying the intern thing worried me. And then I just didn't believe, I wasn't buying what Tony Busby was selling as far as who he was and what he purported to be.
His speeches just, they were nothing but fluff.
Yeah. And there was the one commercial that kind of pissed me off where he was trying to, he had a firefighter and they're playing the, you know, the whatever, I don't know what the song is, what they call it, but they play the bagpipes.
Uh-huh.
It's real sad. They play it at funerals and stuff when firefighters pass away. So he's playing that. I'm like, come on, man. That is literally you just, because he was like, oh, you know.
Well, they caught him
Mayor
fudging.
Turner doesn't care about firefighters. And by the way, clones, save your texts and tweets.
Yes, please.
My brother-in-law is HFD. I understand where he stands on that and everybody else. I'm just telling you, based on the commercial, that it was
that's
like
a huge issue, and yeah, they are getting screwed.
But rather than talking policy, he tried to tug at people's heartstrings and get sympathy votes by saying, well, you know, as we got to play this song.
That was my point.
Come on,
exactly,
man, just talk policy.
Both candidates got caught. Sylvester Turner got caught with his pants down with the paid intern thing for $100,000, and Busby got caught too with his commercials where he had to basically admit that he edited and took liberties to edit Sylvester Turner quotes and other things to try and twist it a little bit to make him look good and Turner look bad. And it's just, that's just, I guess that's politics these days, but it can't just, if I told Lisa, if we were back in Houston and had to vote, I wouldn't want to vote for either guy.
No.
So
I wouldn't either.
I feel bad for the city of Houston for having to vote on that, because the other candidates, if you don't have the money.
Dude, that's politics now. I mean, just in general.
But then you see the numbers, too.
I caught so much heat, by the way, for sitting out last election, presidential election, and not voting. People are like,
You did catch a lot.
Yeah. And look where we're at, and look what the choices were. And it's the same thing. It's just, there is really, I feel like politics today is as bad as it's ever been, but I would be willing to bet you that people always think that, right? Like, oh, it's never been, the candidates have never been worse, but I don't know.
Here's my comment to either side, though. Did you see the numbers? The early voting was like 115,000, and then they think that they got another couple hundred thousand.
200,000 votes.
For a city the size of Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
That's all the votes that you got. I saw some of these council races that were like
thousands.
Yeah, just like 2,500 to 2,499, and they're having a runoff.
But did you wonder how big that... I don't know.
But nonetheless, it's like you would have thought that there would have been a lot higher turnout for a mayoral race. I get it if it's just city council seats.
Yeah.
But
Tyler said, did Pac-Man Joel just say he would have beat them both and would have had more votes than both of them combined? That's kind of how voting math works. Ha ha. No, that's not how voting math works, because he's saying if you combined their votes, he would have still had more.
I agree. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Not how.
That's exactly what I said. Yes, you are right. Tyler is wrong.
Yes.
We're going to wrap up the first hour, Tyler, with lots of positivity. Let's try and call out the suspect.
What song is this? Did you pick the wrong song?
The Ramones? Merry Christmas, Ramones?
Oh, no, this wasn't the song. Wow. It was a bad choice. I've never heard the song
Barry's
in my life
already
either.
Crapped on himself, so we might as well
take
the
victory ass Christmas
and give it to
song.
Either Nick or me.
This was on my list? This is terrible.
I'd have played the Jackson 5 twice. All right, so hour number two is right around the corner of a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. Join us, won't you? 713-780-3776. Call, text, or Twitter right here, ESPN 97.5.